Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 129. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. And as always, I'm excited to bring you this episode, but I'm especially excited about this episode because it's traditionally always the most popular episode of the year. Why is that? Because I look into my crystal ball together with my friends and guests and explore and predict what's going to happen in the world of food photography, food blogging, and food content creation. So yeah, that is what today's podcast episode is all about. Now, in contrast to episodes gone by, episodes from the past, so to say, our yearly episodes, Lauren and Joni are not my co-hosts today. And that is because Lauren has had a baby. And so she stepped away from Instagram and doing what she does best to do something she does even better, which is being a mama. And it felt kind of weird and not quite right to have Joni on and not Lauren. But also, I thought it was maybe a good time to try something new and hear some different voices and perspectives. And I'll tell you a little bit more about who's on and what it's all about in a second. But first, my Food Reels online course of food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators is now live. It's available. I am so excited and also really nervous. I have to be honest, I'm really, really nervous. We've worked so hard to launch this course. I dare say maybe it's my best course ever. I hope so. But if you're struggling to create reels, if you'd like to improve your reels or find a more regular schedule, if you want to manage your time better, get really, really creative with your reel content, then this course is for you. I share the ins and outs of my process. The course is filled with behind the scenes content, so you really get to see how I do everything from filming to editing to choosing my music, voiceovers, the whole shebang. Now, what I have done, it's comprehensive, literally no leaf was left unturned. Yet at the same time, I didn't want to create a really, really long course that would take forever and a day to complete. So it's concise, it's compact, yet it's still incredibly thorough. If you'd like to find out more, be sure to head to the link in the show notes, and then you'll be directed to the course sales page, and all the information that you will ever think of, all the questions you could ever think of are right there. Now, if you're listening to this in real time, aka January 2024, the course is still in beta stage. So that means that if you join now, you become a founding member. That gives you a couple of gorgeous perks, aka you get parts of the course that really will be sold as add-ons and extras built into the course. We also, this very week that you're listening to it, so the week that this episode is released, there is an offer in place. So be sure to head to the show notes, head to the sales page to find out exactly what it is. But the other benefit of being a founding member is the course right now is about two-thirds of the way complete. And the last third, I take feedback and requests from founding members to decide what added extras we include. To give you an example, there's a lot of recipe reels and a lot of different ways that you can film that, from kind of that kind of quick and snappy ASMR version to the more beautiful storytelling kind of food reel, right? So you have the behind the scenes of that, of those kind of different formats. But I also want to share behind the scenes and filming tips and advice and guidance around other kind of format that you might want to share to mix up your content. So the options for that is something that I would present to founding members. So it could be how to film a day in the life, or how to film a how-to video, or how to film a restaurant review reel, or what have you. So you as a founding member get to have a say on how the course is you know, completed so that everything you want to learn, you get to learn. The final thing is, if you use your DSLR to create reels or you'd like to, you can do the course. That's great. But it is principally designed for those of you who want to create consistent content with your phone. And the reason I would suggest doing that initially is because you can just create way more content much more quickly using your phone than your DSLR, especially if you're starting out. So yes, if you use your phone and you want to optimize it and really get a good understanding, good grasp of how to do that, this course is for you. Right, enough about the Reels online course. Let's talk about today's podcast episode. I have the wonderful Lena and the incredible Penny here with me. Now, what I will say is that this was our second time recording the podcast episode. Only once before in the history of this podcast did I lose the audio file, and that was with Diane Henry, and that was very upsetting. But anyways, so we had to redo it. We said something a little bit differently to keep it fresh. I hope it comes across as something fresh. I haven't been able to re-listen to it because I was a little nervous about it. But yes, we share our predictions. And the reason I wanted to bring Lena and Penny in is because they come from very different angles. So Lena is primarily and mainly a food content creator on social media, and Penny is primarily and first and foremost a food photographer. So I really wanted to get these two different perspectives combined with my own and put in the mix and see where we see things heading and where, what kind of trends we see emerging, crystallizing out. And I think it's a really good episode. So those of you who want to up your game in 2024, these are the tips and trends to follow. And yeah, enjoy this episode. Thank you so much, Lena and Penny, for joining me for the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. I am really, really looking forward to our chat. And I'd love to start just with introductions. Lena, as you logged in first, would you like to start?
Yes. Hi, I'm Lena Jabari. I'm a recipe developer, a content creator, and a health coach. And I specialize in making healthy food taste good. I also like to bring in a bit of my Persian heritage into my food content as well.
Great. Thank you. Penny.
Hi, my name is Penny De Los Santos. I'm a photographer and a director and a content creator, and I specialize primarily in food.
Well, today we're coming together to give our predictions of what's going to happen within the food photography and food blogging and food content creation space online. And just like every year, I do this episode and the guests come and we all do our predictions and I put it in a pot, so to say, and come up with anything that's overlapping and any themes that have emerged. And on that note, the very first prediction that we have for 2024 is that understanding and working with AI will be key for all food photographers. And Penny, I'd love for you to speak first to that point, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. I think AI is not going anywhere. It's only going to continue to grow. I also think that for any working photographer or content creator, I think it's just going to be another part of your job. You know, I think it'll be an arm, an extension of what you already do. So I think understanding how to, I just learned this, but a lot of AI people that make AI images are calling themselves AI prompters.
Okay.
I don't know if you heard that term before, but
no.
I just heard it recently. So, you know, I think AI prompting is the future, and I think it's just going to be a bigger and larger part of making images. So it's good to learn it now and just go with it.
Yeah. I mean, just as a kind of sneak peek ahead, so to say, is that I've already recorded an episode about AI with an expert, just because, like you, I really see it as an emerging trend. And I have to say, after speaking to him, I'm feeling a little bit more enthusiastic about it, but I almost wonder, I'm not very technical, so it's not something that really, really excites me, but almost like Photoshop or retouching, like I wonder if it's kind of like that even if that's not what you do full time and that's not like your, you know, the love of your life, that it's still good, as you were saying, to just get a grasp of it, have a basic understanding, because I think those that do and those that do know how to kind of work with it will have an edge over those that don't.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're not gonna see it as just a part, an extension of your job, like learning Photoshop or Capture One or another program, it's gonna be part of the landscape that is photography.
Yes. Lena, is AI something that you've dabbled with at all in your kind of food content creation process?
I've been really resistant to the whole joining the AI movement, but people have told me about ChatGPT and they're like, Lena, you need to get on it. And I was like, no. But I recently, it has been a game changer with writing emails. I've seen some of the photo content that it can produce, and I feel like it's a bit eerie. It's still a bit something's a bit off with it. And I think it's because it lacks that touch. It doesn't have the love and care that goes into making a dish. It basically doesn't have a soul.
I think you're right. I think it's still in its infancy, but that also perhaps makes it more exciting to jump on the bandwagon now. So you're like an early adopter and you really grasp the essence of it. Because I think once it starts getting more advanced and more complex, not that you will have missed the boat. I don't think it's ever too late to learn something new, but I definitely think anybody who embraces it now will have an edge. And in terms of ChatGPT, I've used it for my new course that I'm doing. I just wanted to get some ideas on like a quiz that I could put in. And I didn't obviously copy and paste, but it gave me some ideas to kind of get the creative process of coming up with the Q&A to get that started. So I think this is something to watch and something to embrace for 2024 and beyond for sure. Right. Anybody else want to say anything? Are we ready for prediction two?
Ready.
Okay,
Ready.
great. A prediction too is high production value videography will dominate on social media in 2024. I'd love to speak to that if that's okay. So what I have observed from when Reels and TikToks first came into being, so around 2020, everything was very much on your phone, low quality, authentic, raw, you know, come as you are, dancing, pointing, that kind of thing. And what I've seen really over the last couple of years, and I feel like we're moving towards this kind of peak phase of it, is a real sophisticated treatment of the Reels and also the TikToks. I think there's a lot of people who are using their DSLR mirrorless cameras, a lot of thought on, you know, sounds and storylines. And there's just so much that's going into video production, aka Reels and TikToks now, that I think there's still space for the more raw and authentic. But I do think that there's a whole new opening for people who are wanting to take their videography a little bit more seriously. Alina, I don't know if you've noticed that as well, if you've got any thoughts around that.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed people's abilities in their editing and their video production has advanced a lot more since like day one reel. We were all doing a pretty crappy job back then compared to now. But I quite like the raw and edgy content still. Like I think it's nice when it's not super seamless and super flashy. But yeah, it is cool to see how people are advancing.
I wonder if there may also be like an in-between where it still feels like it's done with a phone, or in fact, it is done with a phone, but people are just much more precise when it comes to, as you say, editing and when it comes to lighting and storytelling. So I don't think everybody has to necessarily jump and get a DSLR to do their real creation, but there is that movement to something a little bit more elevated, I would say. Penny, I don't know, you are also done quite a lot of real creation. Have you noticed anything in that respect as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's like anything, you know, it's you're trying to get people's attention. So the more quick edit, really good audio, you know, a nice soundtrack, I think it's just going to be more eye-grabbing. Everybody's vying for attention. But I also agree with Lena. I mean, I do think user-generated content still does lead the pack, though, because I've had requests from clients to create user-generated content, something that feels more approachable, that feels like an everyday person would have done it, so that people can feel like it's not an ad. You know, it's almost a little bit of, sadly, deception.
Yes. I once did a food styling for a brand that's quite famous here in the UK, like a vegan yogurt thing. And they wanted it to look user generated. And so they did the lighting as if it were, but they got these really, really high tech cameras to film everything. But the way that they edited, the way that they lit it, the way they did the transition, it looked as if it had been done with a mobile phone, but it absolutely wasn't. And it was fascinating, you know, to see how they're trying to capture that in a maybe more stylized way, if that makes sense. But yeah, mm-hmm. this is something to watch. Wonderful. Now, our third prediction is self-care and emotional well-being is high on the agenda, including your food. Lena.
Well, I think food is a big form of self-care. It's also another big thing that contributes to the way that we eat is how we might eat and how we manage our stress. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm seeing that as a big trending thing where you see more people talking about mindfulness, meditation, mm-hmm. breath work. And those are the things that help us become more relaxed and more in tune with ourselves so that we're not just mindlessly grabbing food or like making certain decisions with our food that might not be favorable to our health and well-being. And I also think we are still feeling it after COVID with the lack of connection with one another. And I always say this, I think community is a really big form of self-care and just overall well-being for ourselves and one another. And cultivating that with food and just being really intentional with who we spend our time with is huge.
Yeah. Penny, would you like to add something to that?
Oh, I thought everything Lena said was beautiful. Completely agree. I do feel like, you know, what you eat, what you put in your body is a big part of your mental health too,
yeah.
you know? And
yeah.
I just feel like everybody's thinking about mental health right now, especially after yeah. COVID, you know, it's,
yeah.
I love that it's normalized more, mm-hmm. you know, we are talking about being more mentally healthy and taking care of our mental space. And, you know, it's okay yeah. to say no, it's okay to feel bad.
And I don't know, you know, because I've only lived once, so I'm not quite sure, but it feels to me that the last kind of 6 years or so have been really intense on so many different levels, with COVID just being one of, you know, plethora of kind of disasters and you know, whatnots that we have endured. And I wonder if it's just something about this moment that we're living through, this time, this period, that has made mental health such an important topic and has made self-care not something to be ashamed of, but something to embrace, and has made food as something nourishing and healing, you know, top of mind. And, you know, I didn't see any of those terms, any of those discussions when I was a teenager in my 20s. Like, I really feel it's of the moment, and it's maybe like a response to all that's unfolded in the last few years. So that's kind of my sense of it. I don't know if you agree with me.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think like the more people that discuss it on social media, it's more, yeah. it's resonating with more people, and then they're talking about it more. So it's kind of like yeah. that domino effect as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. I think the times that we're living in, we need to be talking about self-care and our emotional and mental well-being for sure.
Let's move straight into the fourth prediction. And that is, photos are back in a big way on social media through carousels. This is something very, very interesting. When Reels first came, us photographers had a little bit of a panic because it was, you know, blatantly obvious that Instagram was really pushing this medium, and it was, you know, Reels or nothing. You know, views for photos were really, really tanking. And I think there was a big uproar. There was a big hoo-ha. And I think Instagram responded by giving photos a little bit more reach. But B, I think the photography community really upped its game by leaning heavily into carousels. And now I feel like carousels are everywhere. They're performing so well, sometimes for me, even outperforming my Reels. And I just see this continuing. I see this came into being sort of Q4 last year, really, really strong. And now it is here to stay. And it's been wonderful because it means sharing more content in one post, people engaging longer with your content. Like, it's been wonderful. Penny, I don't know if you've noticed that as well as a trend that more people are using carousels. You used it. What are your thoughts? Being a full-time food photographer and creative business owner is stressful. There's no question about it. From liaising with clients to creating content for Instagram to answering emails, it's a lot. What's helped me stay grounded, focused, positive, and energetic has been my commitment to a solid morning routine. At the center of that routine is good hydration and a fair dose of antioxidants to see me through the day, both of which are provided by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink made of ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane, turmeric, and ashwagandha. In short, everything you need to show up your best at client shoots or long days of food content creation. Unlike coffee, it doesn't give you the jitters, yet still keeps me feeling focused and alert. Plus, Magic Mind tastes absolutely delicious and is insanely healthy too. If you're a listener in the US, you can find Magic Mind at Sprouts Market. Alternatively, you can order Magic Mind online and receive your delivery straight to your door. Simply use code ECS20 to receive 20% off your one-time purchase or your subscription, the latter of which offers you further savings. You can find the link to all things Magic Mind in the show notes. Again, remember to use code ECS20 to get 20% off. I've loved drinking Magic Mind, and I know you will too. Hey you, are you struggling to create engaging short form video content but feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start or how to improve the reels you're already filming? Then listen up. After months of talking about it, I am so excited to announce that our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators is ready to launch. Well, almost. If you'd like to be able to create short form video content, including engaging recipe reels or educational how-to clips, then our Reels online course for food photographers and food content creators may be for you. After having numerous content pieces go viral in 2023, I decided to pack all that I learned into a comprehensive online course where I outline exactly how to script great short form videos, how to produce that all-important hook, how to film like a pro, even if you just use your phone for content creation, and how to edit your reels to perfection. Doors to our Food Reels online course are now officially open, and to celebrate, we are offering podcast listeners 10% off. Please use code REELS10 at checkout to claim your discount. As the Food Reels course is still in beta mode, we've thrown in a couple of founders members extras. To find out more, head to the show notes and follow the link. This specific offer ends Sunday, February 4th at midnight GMT, so be sure to be quick. And if you're listening to this after the fact, follow the link still to discover if the course may be the right fit for you.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I think it feels a little like, you know, old times. Not everybody has to have the language of Reels, you know, and I think Reels can be a little intimidating too for a lot of people. So it just feels like we're going back to what the app was originally founded on, which is kind of nice. And as a photographer, I love that, you know, people can sit a little longer with the images.
What about you, Lena? Have you used carousels at all?
Yes. And also as a consumer, I think it creates more opportunities to get your attention grabbed by the content creator. Because like, sometimes I'll scroll past a post, but then I'll see that second or third photo and I'll be like, oh, let me spend some time on this post. It's actually like that one is more captivating kind of thing.
I agree. And the other thing I was just thinking of is, you know, how you can tell a little bit more of a photo story through the carousel, which initially you couldn't do that when Instagram first came out. But also the other thing that I've noticed a lot of people starting to do is when they do like their photo dumps or whatever, to include short video clips within the carousel as well, which I think is really ingenious. Mm-hmm. So just to have a kind of combination of the two to tell a bigger story of your week or a photo project or whatever it is, you know, like it feels more complete and yet it feels also a little bit less rushed perhaps than Reels. So I really, I love it. And I think it's something to use, something to have in your arsenal and something that's really creating lots of engagement, views, likes, you know, all the good stuff basically.
I feel like it's also more personable because I think you can create more of a context behind what it is you're trying to show, whether it's your behind the scenes process for making a dish, or it can be an insight into like what my day was like or like my weekend. Having those video clips and having some photos mixed in there can just bring more insight into you as a content creator or as a person.
Yeah. And the other thing is, I just thought of this. We hadn't mentioned it specifically within this, but I have dabbled a little bit with TikTok this last year. And what I noticed is that they also, I don't know, actually, Lena, you might know this better than me because I'm not that versed on TikTok, but they have introduced what is the equivalent of carousels on TikTok. And those do so, so well. Like, again, some of them outperform my actual TikToks. And I wonder if it's their way of really pushing into Instagram's territory, you know, like where they're like, okay, so Instagram's done reels copying us, so we're going to copy the carousel format and really push that algorithmically to compete with Instagram like for like. So, you know, I think photos are just having their moment again. It's just about using it cleverly and, you know, more creatively, I guess, more like an exhibition in a way. So it's very, very exciting. Right. Are we ready for prediction number five?
Yes.
That is spirit-free cocktails and mindful drinking is where it's at. Hashtag sober curious. Penny.
I've just noticed that in my neighborhood here in New York City, it's, you know, we have a spirit-free bar and we have a spirit-free store where they just sell spirit-free drinks, and it's packed. It's always packed. And we have two spirit-free bars in New York City, and I myself don't really drink anymore for no other reason than I just feel better when I don't, you know, it's a little bit more of a health decision. And I love it. You know, I can still be a part of, you know, the experience and also not feel bad about feeling bad. You know, like sometimes alcohol hits differently for me now for whatever reason. So I love that I can still go out and enjoy being with friends in a space that feels like really, really safe and comfortable.
Yeah, I think this also plays into the trend of being mindful of emotional and mental well-being. It's kind of cool to see trends being used this way that kind of benefits us all as a society. And I also think it's really fun to see people getting super creative with how they make their mocktails and the flavor combinations and how pretty they make everything look. So yeah, I'm loving it.
Yeah. So I, like you, Penny, I've really seen this, you know, emergence of, you know, hashtag sober curious. I never before last year, never saw the hashtag ever in my life. And my mocktails, you know, because I do one recipe or so on the blog a month, and my mocktails really outperform pretty much everything else that I do recipe wise. Like the people are very, very curious about it. They're very interested in it. And then, as you said, Lena, there's that creativity factor to try and make something that's exciting and fun, but alcohol free. And then finally, from a photography perspective, I think it would be really interesting as this market emerges to, you know, to have your portfolio really appeal to brands like that, that are setting themselves up as whatever alcohol-free beer, whatever it is, you know, to include that in your portfolio, to think about pitching maybe, or, you know, creating some content that could attract them, because it is an emerging market and it's definitely worth tapping into. Prediction number six. Everyone's priority in 2024, saving time and saving money in their kitchen, tips, hacks, etc. Lena.
Yes, people love to save time and money. And I think we're all busier than ever now in this fast-paced world. So who wouldn't want a quick, easy recipe? I definitely do. Whenever I scroll through and I see something that's super complicated, it's kind of off-putting sometimes, unless it looks that good. And I remember I once did a series last year called Healthy Recipes for Lazy People. And I think that outperformed a lot of my content because people just want convenience.
I mean, I just didn't want to do too much. So I just, you know, it was a quick and easy vegetarian chili, which is, you know, you can't really mess up. So
I love it. I love it. And I think, you know, also again, it's about predicting and being in the moment and predicting kind of trends and where things are going. And we are going, you know, through a recession. Who knows how long it's going to go, whether we're going to have another recession or, you know, further deeper recession or, you know, but anyways, people's minds are definitely on saving time, saving money. And so if you can create content around that and for that, I think it'll, you know, stand you in good stead. And then also, to be honest, this was part of the predictions we had last year as well. I think it was already on the horizon. What I said then, I'll say now again, is,
to really also think not necessarily about dropping your prices. I definitely wouldn't recommend that, but to create different kind of packages that are a little bit more flexible, if that makes sense, so that people who are cutting down their budgets but still want to work with you can do so in a different way that suits them and also suits you and reflects the work that you're putting into it, if that makes sense. So I think those are two things to really bear in mind in terms of content creation and photography. Right, let's move on to the very last prediction, which is long form content will take over from short form content. So again, to think about how TikTok came to be, how Reels came to be, I think I asked you this last time as well, Lena, but I think it started at like 15 seconds, 30 seconds max on either platform. Am I right?
Yeah.
Something like
15,
that, right?
15, so, 30 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, so it was really snappy. It was really quick. And to be honest, I think the really short ones, you know, the 5 or 7 second ones, they just did perform so, so well. But I think as people are upping their game, they're creating better stories, it's better produced, better edited, better sound quality, all the things. You know, people on Instagram and TikTok are happy to engage with your content longer. And I think most people are looking for something a little bit juicier, a little bit more substance. So I really see the pointing and the very short, look at it again, if not, you will have missed it kind of content being something from times, you know, gone by, so to say. And I really see us moving towards this longer form content inspired in some ways by YouTube. I don't know, Penny, if you've noticed something similar emerging in this longer form content taking hold.
I mean, if I've noticed it, it's definitely been on TikTok for sure, you know. And it's more the ones that I'm staying longer with it. It feels like for me, it's more related to current events, mm-hmm. Things that are, you know, happening in the world that I do want to know more about, because I'm not necessarily going to the normal places to look for those things anymore. I'm too traumatized to look at the front page of the newspaper all the time, you know?
Yes.
So that longer form content kind of delivers it in a way that is, you know, at my leisure, and maybe it's a little more easy to digest even.
And I guess also what that does, and I'm the same, Penny, I'm the same as you, where you feel that these are people that you can trust, you know, or they're giving you a more rounded perspective on things. And one could also move that into, you know, food. If somebody that you really trust said, get this pan or buy this salt or get this olive oil, like there is this connection that we're forming with people online that means that A, we trust them, and B, we're prepared and happy to engage with them in a sort of longer, deeper way.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. I think it's definitely with the current events and just with news, I trust certain sources on social media more than the mainstream. I'm also someone that is a recovering doom scroller on TikTok, and I've been very conscious of the content I consume and how often I am scrolling. Yeah. So I have tried to be more on YouTube for getting information. But now that I'm seeing long form content from my favorite creators on TikTok and Instagram, I think I'm just more favorable to it. It's just, I feel like it's better for my brain and my soul.
Yes. Like you feel like you can actually really engage with things on a more deeper level. And I mean, to be honest, I have to say, I use it mainly also to get my information. Like I'll watch a reel for 10 minutes if I need to, if it's something that feels relevant and important in the moment. But to be fair, I also think I don't always want to consume a recipe reel in 20 seconds. Like sometimes I want to go a little bit deeper, or, you know, a day in the life or something that feels a little bit more substantial. I do appreciate just being with that story for a minute, 2 minutes, or even longer. And I love how I feel my brain is much calmer that way. So I think this is something to watch. And it also means developing new skills. Like how are you going to, you know, Penny, I was just thinking of some of the content you create. You do a lot of educational content like I do. Like, how are we going to not only attract people's attention, but then keep them there for the entire minute or 2 minutes or however long our teaching session is? Like, I think that's a skill that really needs, you know, nurturing and developing. So I think it's going to be really amazing and challenging as well. And something new to learn for those of us who are using Instagram as an educational platform.
Yeah, it's so stressful. I have so much anxiety around, you know, here are 5 tips on how to, you know, light a food photograph or something. Yeah. It's so stressful. I have so much anxiousness around it. And yet I know that those perform really well.
Yeah. But this is so interesting, Penny, because if you hadn't said that, I never would have guessed that's not the vibe that comes through at all. Not at all.
Wow. that's nice to hear.
Can I ask why you feel nervous about it? Is it just, tell me.
I think it's just, you know, the mind palace that I go into, mm-hmm. you know, like, who am I to say this, impart this, and who's really going to be listening to me? And, you know, I just start to go into my, you know, the pattern, the mm-hmm. horrible pattern of just maybe a little bit of imposter syndrome. But then I have to remind myself, like, wait a minute, I've been doing this a long time. This is important. And also, like, I don't see anybody that looks like me doing it. So mm-hmm. there is space for me. There's space for all of us.
Yeah.
And it's just a matter of being okay with it. And I think therein lies the challenge for me, is I just have to be okay with it.
But I think that's also the beauty maybe of this longer form content, is that you're not just rattling down 5 things. Your voice, your personality, your style has more space to show itself and for people to connect with that particular voice that is your own. So I think this is just a really amazing opportunity for everyone to present themselves and what they want to share in a much more profound way. So I'm very excited to see how things evolve in that sense in 2024. Thank you both so much for your time and for sharing your tips. Now, I've got 2 more questions before I go. The first one is, I always end the podcast asking my guests what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. And Penny, I'd love to start with you.
My favorite thing to eat is hot pot, Chinese hot pot. And I love it because it's so easy to do, and it's also very healthy, can be very healthy, but it's just like especially in this time in the winter, it's the perfect food. It's just so comforting.
I had my first hot pot this year.
Oh, wow.
My first time. And this is the interesting part. I went because I saw an influencer on Instagram rave about this place in Piccadilly Circus. And so I went there and I loved it. how it goes. What is your most favorite thing to capture with your camera?
I love photographing food, but my favorite thing to photograph around food is the people that make it. So, you know, photographing people in a space where they're comfortable in the kitchen, doing something that they love, I feel like so honored to be able to capture those images.
Amazing. And then what is your most favorite thing to share?
To share. I love cooking for people. I think sharing a meal with someone is so intimate and so personal. It's also very vulnerable, you know? And I love sharing food with people.
Lena, those same questions for you.
Was the hot pot place, what was the name of the place that you went to in Piccadilly?
I don't know, but it's like you have to go in a basement.
Yes, I went there recently as well.
Because I saw Verna. I don't know her handle off the top of my head. I'll put it in the show notes, but she went there with her little cousins, her brothers or something. And I was like, oh my God, this looks adorable. So I took my son and we loved it. We loved it.
Amazing. So good. Yeah, it was my first experience as well. And I was like, this is a game changer. Mm-hmm. My favorite thing to eat is a Persian rice cake called tajin. And it's basically crispy and super buttery on the outside, and then soft and fluffy, fragrant rice on the inside. And it can be stuffed with anything, but typically it's got chicken. And I like to add dates and caramelized onion. It's so good. And then my favorite thing to capture is, I think, anything stuffed, like a stuffed cookie or anything that like requires breaking it open. I think that's really fun. Like a little surprise. Mm-hmm. It's also quite stressful because if you break something open and it doesn't look good, then that can be a bit of a loss. But anyway, we'll focus on the positives. And then my favorite thing to share is date bark. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's a viral recipe that I created, and it's just flattened dates, nut butter, nuts, and then melted chocolate on top, and then you break it up and have it with flaky salt, and it is incredible.
Yum.
Yeah,
that
so
sounds
good.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing there that I don't like. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. On my final question, where can people find you? Apart from your Instagram, is there anywhere else you'd like to send them to, direct them to, where they can connect with you? Alina, if you want to go first.
Yep, so I'm That Health Junkie on Instagram and TikTok, and starting to post more content on YouTube at the moment. I'm just repurposing my reels on there. And then thathealthjunkie.com is where you can find my healthy dessert cookbook called Sweet. And all those recipes are gluten-free for the gluten-free girls or guys. And then that's it.
Great. Thank you, Penny.
Yes, I have a website. My name, pennydelosantos.com. Also on Instagram and TikTok. But my TikTok is, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure what's happening there. I'm still working on it. And then I also started a podcast late last year, and it's named Depth of Field, and it's about photography and searching for inspiration and, you know, just continuing on a visual journey. And it's called Depth of Field, and you can listen to it anywhere you find podcasts.
Love it. I will put the link to everything you mentioned in the show notes, and just want to thank you both for a really lovely chat. I really, really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
As always, everything and anything mentioned in today's podcast episode can be found in the show notes, including links to Lena's social and also Penny's social website, her podcast, all the good stuff. Now, one other thing is that I know our guests love it when you reshare the podcast in your Instagram stories and tag them. It means so, so much. So if you decide to do that, please tag them and tag me too. I would love to, I'd love to see your reshares. I'd love to see how you found today's podcast episode. Now, apart from links to the guests, you'll also find links to the brand new Food Reels online course in the show notes. So if you want to be a founding member, if you're listening to this in real time, head to the show notes now. The founding member offer stands this week only. And you can find links to Magic Mind. Everything and anything mentioned essentially will be in the show notes. Thank you so, so much for tuning in. It's always a pleasure. And I will be back same time, same place in about 3 weeks' time. So see you then. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. And yeah, you'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care. Bye.